Firstly, if you could please, Natasha, tell us, you did work as a caseworker for the family when you were working for Save the Children. Can you tell us a bit about when you first met them, I guess, when Asha was born? Is that when you met them first or was it before that?
Well, I actually met them before that when Asha's mum was pregnant with her on Nauru. And they had quite a difficult pregnancy because being pregnant on Nauru is particularly uncomfortable, more uncomfortable than it is in other places, mainly because it's difficult for people to get hold of maternity clothes. So Asha's mum didn't have any clothes that fit. When I met her the first day, I recall that she was wearing some pants that didn't fit anymore and were cutting into her stomach, literally, because she was not able to obtain new pants from the service providers in the camp. She also suffered from severe morning sickness because of the proximity of their tent to a toilet block, which was not cleaned very frequently at all. So it had quite a smell to it. And it was just difficult, I guess, with all the rules in the camp. So her husband wasn't able to bring her food from the mess. And she wasn't able to go to the mess because she had to go through the ablutions block to do that. So it was just a particularly difficult time for them. And at that time, my role was to provide support.
The situation now in Brisbane Hospital. So you did manage to meet the mother while she was in hospital and the baby, but you've been stopped from meeting her anymore by the government. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So I had an approval to visit with her on Tuesday this week. And luckily I did go in the morning and had a bit of time together and a bit of a chat, which was really good to see each other after, I think it's been 8 months or so since I were transferred back to Nauru from Australia. But I left the hospital because I had to go and do other work for other clients in Darwin. And then when I tried to come back to meet with the mother and the father, who was brought to the hospital in the afternoons to visit with his family, that's when I was prevented from returning to the room.
The Department of Immigration has actually issued a statement saying the authorised caseworkers and legal representatives are not blocked, but you are apparently not the legal representative. That's the reason they're giving. Are you satisfied with that reason?
Well, I think what they're saying there in their statement, as it appears to me, is that they're only acknowledging that people who are funded by the Department of Immigration are the people that they recognise as the appropriate and authorised support people. However, we all know that people in the community and everywhere access a large range of services and they have the freedom to do so. And this particular family has engaged my services as a support person in my professional role for the Darwin Asylum Seeker Advocacy Network. And so that access is being denied. And I don't think it's particularly legitimate to say that only authorised caseworkers who are funded by the department should have access to people, particularly since it's the people themselves who are requesting the visit.
And how is the family holding up so far, seeing all the support that's coming?
Well, it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride, I think, for them. I mean, they have been overwhelmed by all the support and have been incredibly buoyed by that. But then at the same time, within the hospital, they do remain detained and they are constantly in the presence of Serco security officers who sort of watch their every move and have complete control of what they are able to do and what they're not able to do. So they're not sort of treated, I guess, as normal patients in a hospital. They're subject to all of the restrictions that having these security guards with them at all times subjects them to. So that's been incredibly difficult for them, I think, and trying to reconcile seeing the way other patients are able to sort of use all the facilities of the hospital, but finding themselves detained and in a lot of cases being treated quite poorly, rudely, and I would almost say in a dehumanising manner by these security officers who are with them. I think that's been particularly difficult for them.
And I did hear your other interview, I think, with ABC, where you did mention the father was, you know, before when the baby was due, he was pretty, you know, pretty upbeat in, you know, looking forward to it. But now his condition has significantly deteriorated. What's the latest that you can tell us about him?
Well, I haven't seen him since I saw him very, very briefly on Tuesday afternoon when I was trying to get back into the ward to see him and his family. I only had an opportunity just to shake his hand and say hello. But what struck me is that he is incredibly different from the man that I knew when his wife was pregnant. Mm. At that time, he was, an upbeat kind of guy, good sense of humour, and, you know, went quite far to try to protect his wife and was excited about having a baby. But, yeah, now he's significantly different, very flat, I think, quite beaten down by the system, which is pretty upsetting to see. But as I say, I only saw him very briefly on Tuesday. Mm. And I haven't really had the opportunity to talk to him on the phone much because he's at the Immigration Detention Centre, not at the hospital where his wife is.
And Abeya, is she sort of thinking that they'll eventually have to go to Nauru, or what's her thinking at the moment?
It's really hard to explain to her what's going on, I guess, because as I say, she's detained inside the hospital. She doesn't have access to the internet. She can't read the newspaper articles. She can't keep abreast of what's happening. I've been doing my best to try to explain over the phone what's going on, and the hospital are keeping her well informed, which is really great of them. But I think, you know, she understands that this situation is a lot bigger than her, and she's just sort of waiting to find out what the outcome is. There's a lot of anxiety there.
They are getting other legal support as well, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they've got legal assistance via telephone. And, yeah, as I say, the hospital staff have been really, really supportive. They've got an allocated social worker from the hospital who's fantastic. I guess, you know, that makes me feel a bit better about not being able to get in to see them. However, having said that, I think, you know, the long-term relationship that I've had with this family means that I would really like to visit, and it's difficult to explain to them why I can't, and they've been quite upset about it. But, yeah, can't fault the support from the hospital. They've been wonderful.